Hello, everyone, and welcome to Sink or Be Sunk, UDOIST World of Warships podcast. I am your host, Helicopter Rescue, and your co-hosts are Doomlock and HMS Thunderwolf. Would you guys like to introduce yourselves a little bit?
Hello. I am Doomlock. Welcome to the podcast.
And I think you go by Doom, correct? Just a little bit of shortening.
Yeah, Doom is perfectly fine.
As expected, I go by Hella. Some people call me Heli. Some people call me Chopper. it's the list is endless. I don't know. The combinations, sometimes it's like, I was not expecting that, but go, sure, I'll take that. And
hello, I'm Thunderwolf. You'll find me in game at the moment as HMS Thunder Corgi, which is actually a lot of fun. As it turns out, it was originally meant to be a joke, but yeah, most people call me Thunder. I've got a few people that call me HMS, which I actually find kind of weird.
I find it weird too, as yeah, one of my own clanmates. I find it weird too, as one of my own clanmates called KMS. So that's like, wait a minute, I'm now confusing HMS and KMS. Uh oh.
Hey, you don't like being called Her Majesty's Ship, huh?
Well, actually, if you're talking about in-game, it's actually His Majesty's Ship. I thought I got to show you. That didn't happen. His Majesty's Ship in the Second World War, because we had a king. Which, you'd be surprised how many people get that wrong.
Actually,
it wouldn't, because pretty much everyone gets it wrong.
Yeah, because everyone thinks of current time, where it's the queen.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, then was the king. I don't remember which king, though. Was it 6th? George the 6th? That was at least before, like, 30s.
I have absolutely no idea. I'm British. I didn't say I was a good British.
The inspiration for my name was... A lot of people ask me, like, what does that mean, Helicopter Rescue? It's like, it's an old take on, play on words of a lot of helicopters, you know, a lot of helicopter rescues. So it's like Helicopter Rescues. It was a joke back in the day. So it was a long time ago. I just kind of carried on to pretty much every game I play, and warships too. What about you guys?
Do you want to go first, or shall I?
Mine will probably be quicker, I guess.
Go for it.
My in-game name comes from a Transformer. Back in 04-05 timeframe, or actually might have been 03-04. I'll go for it with 04 because I can remember that date real well. There was a cartoon series on Cartoon Network. Were in the series Transformers Energon, and there is a character on there by the name of Doomlock, though the Doom Dash Lock, in a sense, that way. And when I started playing Xbox around about 7 or 8 years ago or something like that, I had some different online moniker, but when I started making monikers online and stuff, I was using Doomlock, because I didn't want it to be one of my other favorite characters, but one similar, and this is the one I came up with, and I've had it ever since on not only World of Warships, I have it on several other games too, and that's basically where it came up from, and I've been trying to keep it mine ever since. It's hilarious now, if you go and search like Google Images, you'll find the Transformer, of course, but if you scroll down enough, you start seeing pictures of ships, which doesn't make any sense in the context of the character. And then you click on the pictures and you realize they're from me on the World of Warships forums.
Wait, seriously?
I'm not joking. They're on there.
That's
actually pretty funny. How did I get mine in? How much detail should I go in?
I mean, as much as you need to, just to give context, I guess.
Well, originally, Thunderwolf was... It wasn't even my username in the game. But Thunderwolf itself started off as Thundersaurus, just by me being a little kid and combining two things I like, which at the time were thunderstorms and dinosaurs. And people kept taking the mic, and I had enough of it, so it's just like, all right, well, what else do I like? Wolves, there you go, Thunderwolf, good enough. But at the time, I used a completely different name, and I eventually changed it, and Thunderwolf was already taken. So I ended up going, I'm British, British ships have HMS, I'll put that in front of it. And then the whole Thunder Corgi came about after doing the Corgi event. And I was like, you know what? For a month, let's have Wolf as Corgi for a change. And yeah, it started off as kind of a joke, but now I've kind of grown attached to it. So I've decided I'm going to keep it. So I have so many names now, but usually Thunderwolf is like the main one.
Looking up HMS Thunder, or well, to HMS Thun on Warships Day, it comes up with HMS Thundercork is the first one, but also, and kind of unsurprisingly, if you think about it, HMS Thunderchild.
Yes,
I've seen him quite a lot.
How long have you been playing the Warships and Thunder?
So I originally made my account for World of Tanks. I started playing Warships, I think about 2 or 3 weeks after it went open beta, but there was a point where I didn't have anyone to play with, so I got completely bored and it was like, you know what? I'm playing someone else. So I disappeared for something like 6 to 8 months. And then I came back, started having fun, met a load of people, and started having people to play with that changed the game for me, and I'm still playing now. What about you?
By daily, I seen one of his YouTube videos, and this is back when the game was in closed beta. And I was like, yeah, seems interesting. So I got in and I started playing the game during closed beta. But after a while, I just gotten bored of it. And I just kind of disappeared off the face of the earth when it came to pretty much games and stuff. And after a while, I came back. But I couldn't remember what email or username or what I had used for my closed beta account. So I started fresh, you know, pretty much a new account and everything. And therefore, Helicopter Rescue was born.
Well, mine comes a little bit beyond that. Before even closed beta even started, I think it was even before even 2015, 2014, I signed up on the World of Warships NA forum, I think it was at the time, to try and get into the alpha test of the game. Obviously, I did not get into it, as I do not have that tag on the forums. But I did get into the second end of the game. There were two beta weekends originally in March. I got into the second one when they first added aircraft carriers, at the time only the US carriers, into the game. It was March 15th, I believe. I think it was the weekend of March 15th, 2015. Fast forward then a couple weeks, and then closed beta started, and I had default, because I had beta weekend, was able to play closed beta, and I played ever since then. Off and on a bit over 20...
You were a veteran then.
Oh, yeah, I've been here quite a long time. There are some, obviously, that have been here longer, But I'm one of the older ones, yeah.
Doom is, like, the first person I think I've met who has actually done a closed beta weekend. Like, it's very hard to find people who used to do it on the weekends and then kind of transferred over into the closed beta. I joined the closed beta after the weekends were over, but it's very hard to find people who actually... that.
I've even been in the game, playing the game longer than Mouse has.
Wow. And to those who don't know, Mouse, he's referring to Little White Mouse. Who does forum reviews. What I meant to say was premium ship reviews on the forums.
Little White Mouse is a community contributor in the same vein as Notzer or Flamu or previously the Mighty Jingles. She is only she does not make any videos at this current point in time. She posts all of her reviews of premium ships, ship lines, etc. on the World of Warships NA forums. going, of course, by the full name of Little White House. Yes, she puts a very large amount of effort into her posts and reviews and is very well respected for her reviews.
Yeah, no, I find them very valuable. Like, when I need to know some type of information about a premiership or anything, other than the wiki, like, that's the other place that I always check her post on that certain ship. She also does post on Ship Comrade, and she does post also on Reddit. Of course, if you need anything or any links to what we're referring to, I always include it in the show notes. So you will find them in the show notes, her forum profile, her posts on Ship Comrade. But let's talk about, you know, in-game, a little bit of in-game performance. I know, Doomlock, you've been here in Warships for a while now. What's your take on, you know, how have you grown in Warships, you know?
I was about to say that could be a good way to do it. So, when originally starting the game, I kind of looked over, well, beta weekend was so quick that I didn't really have a chance to do too much in it. In fact, it was hilarious when I had started playing. It was like I would shoot at a ship and the shots would miss even though they hit the ship model. Oh wait, I found out that the ship model lagged behind the actual ship in the server, so I had to shoot ahead of the ship even more to shoot the invisible ship in front of the ship. So yeah, once I got through beta weekend and closed beta began, I started really looking at the ships that were there, and looking at the end of the lines and kind of figuring, okay, which ships do I want to go for in the end? Originally, as I remember, I had gone down, I started going down towards the Des Moines because I looked at the thing and I'm like, wow, a 5 second, I misremembered the 6 second for some reason. The 6 second reload on the Des Moines on 8-inch guns. That sounds fun. So I started going down that line. And for those who do not, and for those who don't know, in closed beta, a lot of things, the game changed drastically over the months of closed beta. For instance, armor didn't work towards the beginning. As in, you could armor piercing did full damage all the time. Or at the very least, no. Not armor piercing didn't do full damage. I mean, it did full 33% penetration damage all the time, no matter what. So everything fired armor piercing. That is why Cleveland has its reputation. So I got to Cleveland, yes. It was pretty fun. I also, at the end, got to Pensacola, though I didn't play Pensacola too much, because I started playing down the Japanese cruiser line. I got to Alba, and boy, Alba was fun. Like, really fun. Alba got a lot of first time things in World of Warships. For instance, first 5 kills at the time there was no Kraken. First time kills, first 100k damage, that type of stuff. So I was flavored by that. I obviously played all the other lines except for carriers, and got decently well with them. And then once the open beta wipe happened, I started going down the IGN cruise line. However, I only got to about Tenryu before my wanting to play the game kind of waned off, and for the rest of 2015, I didn't really play much until 2016 rolled around. The Arpeggio mission started up, and I started wanting to do that. And I've been playing. I played mostly off and on throughout 2016, and I've been playing a ton in 2017. Play a ton now. Mostly, when it comes to, let's see, in-game performance, it boils down to. My best and favorite class to play is cruisers. I love playing cruisers. The jack of all trades style of gameplay, always having to think on your feet, being very versatile in your gameplay. It's always been enjoyable. And while I've the first line of ships I completed was a cruiser line to tier 10, the Japanese cruisers. In my first tier 10, ironically, 2 years almost to the day since I started playing ships, period, was when I got my first tier 10. And been really going down a lot of the cruiser lines. I'm at tier 7 for the Germans and Russians, though I haven't bought them yet. I'm at tier 9 for the U.S. battleships. Sure, mm-hmm. I'm talking about cruisers, and I'm trying to say a battleship. Tier 9 cruiser on the U.S. cruiser line. I'm starting to dab a little bit in carriers, and got tiers a lot of the destroyers and battleships. I'm pretty well rounded in my play style. Still having to learn cruiser carriers though, but my best is definitely cruisers, and I finally have it to where, like, Warships Today will say that I mostly play cruisers and am excellent in them. I found that to be quite the personal accomplishment to me. And that's, I guess, roughly an overall performance-ish thing, if you will, my growth in World of Warships.
I'd have to say I'm also a cruiser player, but I didn't start out being a cruiser player, actually. Initially, when I started the game, I had fallen in love with all the videos of the Shimakaze, you know, those amazing torps and just that wall of skill. but I started out, you know, down the IGN destroyer line, and the lower tier IGN destroyers are completely different from the higher tier. Going into the Fubuki, I had just been... The difference between the below the Fubuki and above the Fubuki is so different that I fall in love to the Wakatake, the Mitsuki, and all that. And moving forward, you know, with the longer reloads and sometimes, you know, less torp tubes, and it just didn't seem fun. So I kind of went into cruisers and found out that I'm actually better in cruisers than I was in destroyers. Mind you, this whole time while I'm doing the IGN destroyer line, I am doing it in co-op. So I started out being a co-op player, and I grinded all the way to the Fubuki in co-op. And after I gotten about to the Fubuki, that's when I kind of started to get into randoms. And then I found out that randoms is a totally different beast than co-op. And that's what I've been going up the cruiser lines. And my first tier 10 is the Moskva. And that was inspiration coming from, you know, everybody was like, hey, the Moskva is so overpowered, you know. A great armor and great shells and everything. And I'm like, let's see what this hype is about. And it's not as I was expecting. I was a little bit disappointed, honestly. But it is my first tier 10, and I do have over 300 or 200 games in it. And I do have a love and hate relationship with the VMF cruiser line. And if you don't know the VMF, it's the Russian Navy. Other than that, I'm currently going up the carriers, specifically the IGN carriers. I mean, it's a little rough playing carriers when you don't have any experience or whatsoever, but I have been trying, and I'm not doing too bad in them. Same thing with battleships. I have gotten a bunch of free XP saved up, and, you know, I converted a little bit doubloons into some free XP on one of the weekends, and I was able to get the Missouri, and I absolutely just fell in love with how the American, and that is, mind you, after I knew how high tier play was, so I didn't just get the Missouri, you know, when I was a newer player. But it was made me think of going up the American battleship line. So that's what I'm probably going to do pretty soon. Go up all the way to Montana, get that extra gun. And it's overall my... The only problems I have, you know, in performance wise, is just for me when I'm when I'm switching from a destroyer to, you know, cruisers to battleship, like, you know, specifically like nations, you know, sometimes if I go from, let's say, my Moskva, I'm playing my Moskva and I go to the Missouri, it's not like it'll take me like a battle or two to get back into the mojo of shooting with the Missouri, so to say. Same thing. I am currently in the Clemson on the USN destroyer line, and if I play the Tashkent or if I play the Kiev and I want to get my double on the Clemson, it takes a match or half a match, I should say, before I can go back to like effectively shooting stuff. Same thing with the Sims. It's weird having the different speeds of torpedoes. Also, like, as a lot of people may or may not know, there's a thing called torpedo marksmanship, and to be a good expert marksmanship in torpedoes, you have to calculate, you know, not only enemy movement but also consider the speeds of the torpedoes. And switching the different destroyers is not, if I'm not a destroyer player, and switching between the destroyers, it takes me like a match or two before I can get the torpedo speeds back into the mojo. Other than that, you know, my win rate is obviously been increasing. Like, I, as of episode one, I am 58% win rate, but I had what I think it was like, back in March of this year, I was at a 41% win rate. So quite the improvement. And of course, I am improving. And if anybody asks me, hey, you know, what's the secret? How are you able to do that? Divisioning. It's all about divisioning. And definitely a lot of improvement within my gameplay, my overall positioning skills, and all of that. And you know, one of the main reasons why we're doing the podcast and I'm doing the podcast is to learn more about the game, to get better at the game. And, you know, what's better than having, you know, other people, you know, learn with you as you learn things. And with that, I'd like to pass it on to Thunder and see what he has to say.
Let's see. I originally, Christ, we're going back 2 years here. I don't remember that far. let's see. I am mostly a battleship player. I started off with the American line, hit, I think it was the New York, decided I didn't like it. So I ended up playing the Japanese line. And yeah, mostly played for the first 2,000 games total, about 2/3 of them were in a battleship in the end. Now, though, I have been spreading out into cruisers and destroyers a little bit. I've been playing a little bit of carriers as well. And the only real reason I'm doing that is because I'm running out of battleships. well, I am. I've got it. The Amalo is my first tier 10. I hate it. It's a pile of crap. And I recently unlocked the Kurfürst. I have the Iowa. And I'm not a big fan of the British battleships, so I don't really like playing them. But yeah, I'm just trying to learn other ships just to keep it interesting.
To broaden your horizons, per se.
Yeah,
more like I'm bored.
I mean, if I wasn't bored, I would be going up the carrier line. So I'll tell you,
I actually like playing carriers.
It's very taxing for me. I mean, majority of the time, I don't play. I usually play in a division when I play, and I don't play in a division when I'm in carriers. I don't know why, but. It's really taxing because you're so versatile. You have to do a lot of things at the same time, you know, spotting, attacking, defense, you know, it's just a lot of, you know.
I found it was a lot easier to play once I started, instead of trying to do everything at once, go for a systematic approach, and that really helped me. I mean, come on, I'm a guy. I don't multitask. I try, but I fail. So, like, I tend to do one thing at a time. So a lot of the time, if you see me playing, and for whatever reason I am in a carrier, you will probably see me drop a load of torpedoes. Meanwhile, my dive bombers are still circling my carrier. And once they drop the torpedoes and they're on their way back to the ship, I'll bring the dive bombers out and pick a new target. I'm not the person that has them out all the time, going all over the damn map, because I just can't. I can't keep track of it.
Yeah, yeah, and it's, you know, when I'm feeling bored or
that's the interesting thing about carriers. Everyone has a different way of playing them. Like, I know a lot of people will drag their cursor to the side of the screen to move the camera, and personally, I can't do that. It's what's the word? Disorientating, I guess, is the best way to put it. Like, I can't handle it. So in my case, and a lot of people have told me, like, why do you do it like that? It's not perfect. And the bottom line is, yeah, it's not perfect for you, but for me it works, so therefore I'm going to do it. But I use the arrow keys.
Oh wow.
I
think you're the first person that I've run into who does that. Wow.
So, and people like, oh, why don't you just press the numbers? And it's just like, well, I could, but then I've got to move my hand all the way to the other side of the keyboard.
When I'm driving them, and, well, I mean, at this point, it's just Langley and Hosho. I'll just right click the minimap to move around.
Yeah,
wait, you can do that?
Yeah.
Yep.
See, no one tells me these things.
Hey.
Next time I'm in a carrier, I'm going to try that now.
Yep, yeah. More power to you.
It is one of those things. It doesn't happen unless I try it and it happens. What you just told me is a complete load of crap.
Hey, I mean, like, there's really no official, you know, guide or tutorial on carriers or anything. So, you know,
I think it goes for quite a lot of, like, everyone's got their own play style. Like, I think a good one would be destroyers. Like, you've got the types that will go into a camp and can quite happily contest it and shoot their guns and use a smoke and do that. When I do that, I get annihilated. So if you're in a destroyer and you're expecting me to cap, you're going to have a really bad day, because I ain't doing that straight away. Because I can't do the knife fights. I don't know what it is, but no matter what ship I'm in, whether it be, you know, Russian, German, US, whatever the hell the other nation is, Japan. It doesn't matter. Like, ships that are designed for the knife fighting. I still fail.
I mean,
drives
right,
a Fletcher to the cap, loses a gunfight with a Shimakaze.
Yeah, that would probably be the case.
Oh my god! I mean, we all see, like, the different profiles. Like, you know, some people are very strategic about their destroyer play and wait for the cap to be flushed out, like, before they go in, etc., etc. You know, like, everybody, like you said, everybody
and
has
that's
their own.
Something. That's something not a lot of people take into account. What works for you may not work for everyone.
Yep.
You know, and the same can be said for anything. Like, I personally, I can't stand the Fuso. I think the Fuso is awful. And yet so many people say, you know, oh, the Fuso is great. It's blah, blah, blah. And I just sat here and it's just like, no, it's not. Just stop.
I have a different thought about it, honestly. Like, I think
that people hate the Fuso.
I don't think
the ship everyone think of an IGN battleship that everyone hates. I guarantee you, I am one of those people that actually likes playing it.
Kawachi. Oh,
wow. I love the Kawachi.
Oh, so I can fully understand that what you're saying. My one of my clan mates absolutely despises the Scharnhorst. Can't make it work for the life of him.
Yeah, not
meanwhile, myself and my other a couple of my other clanmates love the Scharnhorst. In fact, Scharnhorst is my most played and one of my favorite ships to play. But he just can't make it work. He goes to such outlandish claims of Mikasa's a better battleship than Scharnhorst. I'll 1v1 beat you in Mikasa and Scharnhorst.
Credit where it's due. The Mikasa is a bloody good battleship.
It's the best tier 2 battleship in the game.
Anyways, yeah, that's true. A great segue, Dumak. Next thing we can talk about, like, what everybody's favorite ship is, or, you know, what you have fun in, you know, so that can be, you know, a little cool build on a captain, or, you know, take it in the direction you like. Thunder, what do you have in mind?
What I have in mind for favorite ship? Honestly, I don't think I have a favorite ship. I just have some that I like playing more than others. Mm-hmm. I love the Dunkirk. The Dunkirk is, I believe it's currently my most played ship in the game.
It certainly is your key ship, per se, on Warships Today. That is what it'll say. Your key ship is Dunkirk.
No, it wouldn't.
That's at least last I saw.
Yeah, but my stats have been hidden for like the last 800 games.
it's just got like, the last thing that you have.
Yeah, it would just be the last update. But yeah, the last time I checked, it was the Dunkirk. I think I actually have warships up now. Let me check.
At least from my end, I mean, you can see better than I can. So,
well, I don't know. I do wear glasses.
But I don't wear glasses.
Yeah, Dunkirk is my most played ship by 82 games.
Oh, wow.
It is above the Amagi, Scharnhorst, Tirpitz, North Carolina, and the Charles Martel. So, yeah, I love the Dunkirk. Dunkirk's so much fun to play. But I usually play it with a full AA spec, and it is pretty surprising how effective that can be, especially when you get up against a Hiryu or a Saipan on the enemy team. Because there is no way those planes are getting back. You wouldn't have thought the AA on a Dunkirk would be that good, but actually it was amazing. But it's only, surprising. It's one of those ships, it's only amazing if you make it amazing. It's not like a Cleveland where, or a Des Moines or a North Carolina where you can spec it for AA, but honestly, even without AA, it's pretty damn good. But there's a few ships. I do love the Amagi. The Amagi is a good ship. But I think the most fun I've ever had in a ship was probably... It's probably the Izumo, which may be of some surprise to some people.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Only reason I said that is because I was in a division with some people that I had met on the internet, because why not? I was in a division and we were on a map. I think it was two brothers or one similar looking. And we'd started the game and one of my division mates said, like, oh, you're in a Izumo, like, you're going to have a really hard time. I think I got a Kraken in that game. And something like 120,000 damage and nuked three ships from almost full health. They just turned around and it's like, holy crap, you can actually play that ship. Like, keep, whatever you're doing, keep doing it. Like, that's, I had a similar sort of experience with the Quachi, actually. Where, I think one of the shots I made there was Quachi HE against, let's see, Quachi is what, tier 4?
No, tier 3, the first in the line.
No, not the Quachi. I'm thinking of the Isuzuchi, the tier 4 premium. Yeah, HE with that and a destroyer. that was something like 10-15 kilometers away, some pretty more like mid-range, but kind of to the limit of the Isuzu's guns, and I just raked it. It's one of those, for me, it's one of those that the way I play warships is I don't play to win. So if you do expect me to win, good luck with that. But especially with random battles, and I play to get the experience and credits to move up the line.
Oh, yeah. I would say I'm the opposite, honestly.
I don't see winning the game as being a really big deal, because I don't see it. It doesn't make much difference to how much credits you earn, like on a loss or a win.
I mean,
in my opinion,
I'd have to look at the numbers.
Let me rephrase that. It doesn't make a big enough difference. Yeah, there's a difference. You get more on a win.
Mm-hmm.
No, I'm not saying you don't, but the difference between the two, you know, even if you stick to kind of average gameplay, win or lose, you'll make about the same. So to me, winning doesn't matter as much as making sure ships get sunk, making sure you get some damage. And since they changed the like the spotting mechanics,
I have to say I'm the complete opposite, because winning is everything to me. Even if I have the opposite, like even if I have completely, you know, really bad damage with the game, like, but I can secure a win with my next two actions, I will make sure those two actions secure me the win, no matter what. You know, sometimes, of course, like let's say my double on the Missouri, maybe, you know, it'll suck. Maybe that will suck, you know, but if I can get that win, I will go for that win. Yeah, I'd have to say, like, I'm complete opposite of you. But, you know, Thunder, you do get twice as much XP.
You do, when you're not a player like me. Because I don't care about winning, therefore I have to make my own entertainment, so to speak. So I am that person, if I'm on Two Brothers and I am bored out of my mind, I'm going through the middle. I don't care what you're telling me. I'm going through that middle. If I've made that choice, I am going through the middle. End of discussion. All right. And to be fair, going through the middle on Two Brothers, it can work.
It can work.
And it can work well. Just got to be careful about it.
Yeah. If you do it smart, it works. And it works so well, it's actually kind of scary.
I remember a time, one of my battles, I was in Prinz Eugen, and two Bismarcks went up the middle about part of the way through the game. I'd already been on the western side of the map for a bit, came back to defend the cap. I loaded AP and sat there and watched as they came out, you know, broadside on, because you know you're coming out from that,
yeah,
that channel. I just like 11k salvoed both of them as they just got annihilated by our team. And I think it was still a win for that.
They're just like, nope.
Yep, they couldn't do a thing about it. I fired torpedoes at they weren't going to survive, not whether I killed them or the rest of my teammates killed them. It was just like, you know, this is the power of what, you know, the Admiral Hipper / Prinz Eugen can do right here. I think my hilariously funny moment of playing Prinz Eugen was citadeling a Bismarck under 10 kilometers.
And just to be clear, I don't care about random battles. It's a completely different story when I'm doing something more competitive, for example, ranked, or clan battles if I end up playing it, or in Supremacy League, or anything like that where winning actually does have meaning.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah.
I will actually be like, no, I'm actually going to do this properly. I'm not going to screw around, because number one, I'm not going to get anywhere. And number two, it's not fair for the rest of the team.
Yeah, you have like a six other members of a team depending on you to do your best and for all of you to succeed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. But like for randoms, I don't care. Like, and that's why we said earlier my stats are hidden. It's because I do stupid things. My stats don't reflect how I play. Well, let me rephrase that. It reflects how I play, but not in the terms of skillful play and actually doing well and actually trying.
Yeah, that I've said this before on the forums too. It's like, you know, your stats don't necessarily always show the full picture. A win rate or WTR does not necessarily show the actual cognitive skill of the player.
No, it doesn't.
WTR only takes into account
best. It will give you an idea.
Yeah, it gives an idea.
And going back to the subject of going up the middle on Big Brother, my favorite ship, which is the Perth, I found out is exceptionally well at doing that.
Creeping smoke.
Of course, yeah, exactly. The creeping smoke is the factor. and I guess that too. Plus, you also have also access to spotter plate, so you don't even need a carrier or a DD. Exactly, a special one, which is what, 3 minutes, plus minutes with the module.
You've reminded me of a Missouri game I did.
I gotta say, like, the Perth is one of my, even though it's not my most played ship, it is the favorite ship. Like, oh,
I don't have Perth.
It's very fun. I'll tell you that.
Perth
it's,
really does well with the smoke generator mod too.
Mm-hmm.
And extending the uptime or the active time of it while decreasing the time of the smoke puffs. Of course, the smoke puffs on the Perth are already only 10 seconds. You're not meant to be sitting in them. Going to some of mine, I suppose, in kind of a minor segue. My most played ship is Scharnhorst, by number of battles played. Ever since I got her, just enjoyed the style of play and stuff. And I play it like I play the ship to get in your face and make you pay for it. Like, I've built it to where manual secondary build, adrenaline rush, and fully spec for secondaries. I don't have aiming systems mod one on it. So that's 8 kilometer manual secondaries. There's 6 kilometer torpedoes on either side. I got 20 second reloading guns, which only get shorter and shorter as I get damaged and I push you. Let's not forget that Scharnhorst is one of the most heavily armored ships in the game. And if you angle it properly, you won't get overmatched. That's one of the things that I keep kind of seeing every now and again.
That's the thing with the Scharnhorst. I think it's a very good ship. It's also a ship you can do really, really well in, but it doesn't take a lot to screw it up.
Yes. If you go bow on to a ship, that more further makes it easier to actually hit the overmatchable parts of the bow. There are parts of the bow that you can overmatch, obviously, just like, you know, any other tier 7 battleship. But if you angle, you force the shells to hit your fore or main belt armor, which are not overmatchable by any means necessary. I mean, your belt armor is thicker than really even Bismarck. Gun. And the reload and ridiculous traverse rate, too, of those guns, you can always keep them on target. You always am able to keep them firing despite either armor piercing or HE. Both are viable in most every respect. You got secondaries that are really good at fire starting and doing damage. It's just meant to get in your face and make you regret getting too close. I've had times where, like, I've just charged forward, like, nonstop through flank, and they didn't know what to do with me.
Yep. I mean, I've had teams go down like that. Like, there's a Scharnhorst on the enemy team that is charging the flank, and it's like they don't know what to do, and they get scared, and it's like, oh my god, that flank is completely dead now because of that one single Scharnhorst. And it's very frustrating and infuriating if you're on
If you think about it, that's pretty much the German line.
Oh yeah.
In general.
The way it's
Bismarck's capable of it. The Freddy. Nah, Freddy isn't. Even the Gneiss now can do that.
Yep. Yeah, it's funny if you look at my
it's funny when you do
stats. You could compare Scharnhorst to Gneisenau, and it is night and day. My poor Gneisenau was just pitiful in its performance. I did terribly with her.
The thing that lets Gneisenau down is its guns.
It's just the fact that there's only six of them. And while they have the same dispersion as Bismarck having just those two extra ones just makes it feel less wonky.
Even then, I think the Bismarck is almost too easy. Like, my first Bismarck game, completely stock ship, I got something like 120,000 damage. That may not have been my first one. We're talking first, second, maybe the third. And I just kind of sat there. I looked at the after battle report, and most of it was from fires that were set by the secondaries. And I just kind of sat there, and it's just like, okay, it's cool. I got 120,000 damage, but none of that was, most of it wasn't even my doing. Because I fired what am I talking about? I fired AP the entire game. So the only way to set those fires would have been the secondaries. And it's just like, I just kind of sat there, and it's just like, that's kind of not fun. Don't get me wrong, it is a very good ship. I did like playing. But it's way too easy with those secondaries to get a decent game. And then you get the Frederick. And the Frederick sucks.
I've heard that type of thing too, where it's like, Bismarck, great, Frederick, JK. Yeah. Hey. Yeah.
And the thing I know the thing with the Frederick is, for whatever reason, it's got the normal German armor. You know, it's all turtle bag. It's good. It's pretty much the same as the Bismarck. But for some reason, Bismarck doesn't take as much damage, and then the Frederick just takes damage pretty much every single time. Like, I would easily lose a quarter of my health easily.
Dumark was mentioning his clan mates a while back in the conversation. Let's talk about what clans we are in. Start with Dumark.
Well, the tag is Hinon Hinon. The full name, obviously, is Hijackers Anonymous. The kind of subtitle of that is Hijacking Forum Threads Anonymously, even though you know logged in and you actually have
there's
name.
No hijacking.
I know it's like
it's World War II. We're not Pirates of the Caribbean here.
From what I've been told, it was started before I joined up, and we're kind of relatively small. It was started when a bunch of the older members of the clan would be, you know, hijacking the same kind of the same forum thread each time. So they just kind of joined up and made a clan, and now it's what it is now. One of the original members is gone. I'm now risen to be one of the heads of the clan. But we got a lot of, like, the larger forumites on there. Like, if you're on the forums, you'll see me on the forums a lot of the time. You may recognize one of our members as one of the wiki editors, one who's posted a lot of the news articles. But that's basically was the premise of it. It was just the hijacking forum threads, and mostly I'm a part of the clan just because I ran into one of the members in battle, one I was actually wanting to eventually be able to division up with and play with at one point, asked to join their clan, and voila. We have quite a lot of pretty decent to pretty good players across the board, and we've kind of been talking about, you know, how the clan wars goes and what tier 10s we all have and everything. As I sit here with only one tier 10, I've been working on getting my second, hopefully, soon, maybe.
Technically, I only have one tier 10, too.
Well, mine's Zhao, and while Zhao can work in with the current restrictions, and I'm trying to get to Des Moines to relieve the pressure off some of our other members, which, you know, could bring another ship, but are needed to bring this ship because of strategies and such and such. But yeah, it's pretty nice. We're kind of a closed off group. We like to get to know the person we're trying to bring in. We want to see how they mesh with everybody. We're kind of more of our own little insane little insane family over there at Hijackers Anonymous. Yeah, we have a lot of fun with each other. They're the kind of main reason I've really gotten back into playing ships all the time and being a real big part of the community now.
Copter, your turn.
I'm in Team Special Forces, or SF2, as my tag says. It's a very large clan. They do competitive, both casual and competitive, I should say. Supremacy League winners, I don't know. I can't count how many seasons they've won. Hats off to those guys. I don't know how they do it every time, but they do it. But I'm a casual player, not competitive yet, though. Hopefully in the future I'm considering, but I'm more interested in Clan Wars first. I want to see how Clan Wars goes, but I definitely am interested in playing Supremacy League for SF in the future. Unlike Doomlock's Hijackers Anonymous, this is a very, very, very big clan. So you develop relationships with certain people and not everybody, because not everybody's always on at the same time. So you generally develop friends or relationships with people who are on when you're on, and, you know, division with them all the time because you guys are usually on around the same time. I'm fairly new still to the clan, but before joining, I didn't have any clan, so I was the lone wolf out there, just, you know, divisioning with almost everybody, all types of clans everywhere. I mean, I don't intend to change that anytime soon, so it's not like all of a sudden I'm only going to division with SF members all of a sudden, you know. I still have a lot of friends in other clans. I still have a lot of friends, you know, who are not in clans. That's pretty much wraps up for me. We don't have a asylum or anything over at SF. But
he's got to be nice.
Exactly.
He doesn't want to be kicked out this early.
Yeah, or exactly that. What about you, Thunder?
So, like Helicopter, I'm in a much larger clan than Doomlock is. I'm in Task Force Apocalypse, also known as APOC. They're both social and competitive. I originally joined back when I originally was joined in a clan for just to have a clan tag, really. There was no real meaning behind it. And then obviously things change and you want something else. And I wanted people that I could play with and maybe do competitive with. I ended up leaving, looking around, and I kind of followed someone that at the time I talked to quite a lot. I still talk to him now, just not as much. And I went into their Discord, started talking, and eventually I ended up becoming a member. The downside is they are on the NA server, and I'm in the UK. I mean, same kind of issue Heather has. You don't really see... Well, I don't see very many of them just because of the time zone difference. So when a lot of them are playing, I'm asleep. So playing with them is not that great. I do talk to them quite a lot, or at least as much as I can. I ended up joining one of their Supremacy League teams, and we had our first game last weekend. Oh, last weekend from this being recorded. But I'm in the Bronze League of APOC, but APOC do have teams in silver and gold as well.
Yeah,
mine only has 19 members total.
Going by the clans on the game itself, obviously the new clan update has meant everyone's being shifted around, trying to get oil and make the most of it and increase the sizes. But there are, I believe, about 100 people total. It's probably a little bit less than that, but probably more like 80. But
I'd say SF is about around the same too.
Yeah. So right now, APOC have a total of 4 in-game clans. Essentially, I don't know what's planned when the main clans get expanded. Obviously, I think most of the oil right now is going into getting the member numbers increase from 30 up to 50 as soon as possible to kind of get everyone in the same place. I'm hoping I end up in one of the clans that do Clan Wars, if nothing else, just to give it a shot. If I like it, great. If I don't, well, no big deal. I just won't play it. The main APOC clan, which the clan tag is just plain APOC. The next clan tag is APOC with a hyphen. Then we have APOC with an underscore. And then we got really creative and went APOC X, which is the one that I'm in right now. which I think is the quote-unquote newest of the clans. So I don't know if that one's being kept or whether I'll be staying in that one or I'll be moving to another, so I don't know what's happening. But right now, I think we're mostly concentrating on Supremacy League, or at least I am. Uh-huh. And when I say am, I mean plan to.
SF is numbers, so there's SF, SF2, 3, 4, all the way up to 7.
Yeah, I think numbers would have made more sense.
But with that, I would actually like to go into one of our lightning round segments. One of the things we want to do over here at Sink or Be Sunk is have rounds or different segments within an episode to kind of, you know, change some things up, have some fun with the guests, et cetera, et cetera. And since this is our intro episode, you know, getting to know the hosts, I will be doing lightning round with these two guys, and they will do a lightning round with me. So the lightning round, let me explain it. I'm going to ask either Thunder or Doom a question, and I have a timer with me, and they have about 30 seconds to answer the question and maybe, you know, get a little bit reasoning before I move on to the next question. Now, if they don't answer within 30 seconds, whatever they're saying, I'm just moving on to the next question. That's it. You know, maybe they didn't provide enough reasoning or whatever. I don't care. So I'm just gonna move on to the next one. So we'll start off. First question will be going to Thunder. So Thunder, are you ready?
All right.
Question one. Now that the Shiratsuyu can only equip either smoke or torpedo reload, which one would you take into randoms and why?
I've actually played this, and I usually use the smoke just because it suits my playstyle a lot more. I like being able to hide if I need to, and with having torpedo reload, I can't do that. And I usually got wrecked.
I see. Okay. Question two. If you had to take one map out of rotation, what would it be?
Tears of the Desert. Because it's Tears of the Desert.
I believe you mispronounced Tears of Cruisers.
All right. Let's face it. Do I really need to explain this one? No one likes Tears of the Desert. I think that map would be a lot better if there was an island in the center of it. But mm-hmm. It is just way too open. The only time it really kind of works is in domination, in my opinion.
Next question. How would you rate your CV play?
Terrible. What kind of question is that? I've got less than 100 games in, I think I've got 75 games in, what was it, Carriers?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. About 75 games, so I haven't played them enough to really understand them.
That's it for Thunder. That's his lightning round questions. But I just wanted you for that last question.
Sucked.
I wanted you to take it in any direction you wanted. So okay. next one is obviously Doom. Question one. If the USS Massachusetts was added to the game right now, how would you balance it to not make it a clone of the Alabama?
Oh, well, it would definitely be modifying some of the stats to be better, some of the stats to be worse, allowing Bama to have her own unique flavor or something, or giving it something to reference its utter pommeling of Jambat in the Operation, the Torch or something or other? Something. It was Operation something that I'm not remembering off the top of my head.
All right, question number two. If you had to take out one nation's class from the tech tree, what would it be? Good so question. If you had to take out a CV or a cruiser or, you know, something.
Oh, you're not the whole type, just a specific ship class from a
the whole type, ship. Actually.
Oh, type? Okay.
Let me make it simpler for you. Which one do you hate the most?
I would say, which class would you be most likely to change if Wargaming gave you the chance?
Because I wouldn't. That's just too much. If take out for rebalancing, that'd be a better idea. The way to say, I'd say a better way to say it. Take out for all rebalancing. Right.
That's your 30 seconds. You took too long.
Yeah. I had to think about it too much.
To be fair, that question was kind of worded badly.
I would say yes. I should have worded it a little bit better.
That's on you, Copter.
I know.
You failed us.
Our glorious leaders.
All right. Question number 3 for Doom. Let me reset my timer. How would you rate your BB play?
Actually, going off of WTR calling it, great to semi-unicum, I think is what it is, at least going by how my average damage and win rate is on most of them. I'd like to be cruiser though instead of battleships.
I was trying to go with things that you guys don't usually play with. All right. You guys get to ask me your questions. I guess each one of you can ask me a question or two.
Yeah, I think like we can figure out something. What ship would you decide to take into a random battle on Islands of Ice?
Kutuzov.
All right.
No questions about it. You know, the smoke gives you the cover. At the same time, the stealth gives you the ability to reposition when your smoke runs out. I know it's a little bit of an overpowered ship, but I mean, it's Islands of Ice. Sometimes you have cover, sometimes you don't have cover.
I had to snicker a bit at the stealth comment about Kutuzov.
Oh my god. Hey, you can try your best, you know, you just...
You got one you can grab thunder? Or...
I have, throw it up. Actually.
Then ready, so, then I pass the mic to you.
Pass the mic proverbial, to me, proverbial, right in front of me.
Yes, so I pass you the proverbial mic.
I like being pedantic. So, if you could add any ship to the game that isn't in the game already, what ship would you add?
Oh, wow.
This is where we find out that he has no idea what ships are.
Okay, I would definitely add the HNLMS De Ruyter. The Royal Dutch Navy cruiser that was stationed in the by Indonesia, pretty much the modern day Indonesia. I think that would be an amazing. I think it would place around tier 7, tier 6.
No,
seven.
No.
Maybe I'm too much of a fan, but I think that would. I think that's it. I think that needs to be added to the game ASAP.
Lurt agrees with you.
I don't know enough about ships to know if that's a good thing or not.
You can base my laughter on the tier 7 comment as enough.
Oh, should it be a tier 10?
No.
You know, it can be beside Charmhorse. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure your 30 seconds is up.
Okay. Oh yeah, it was up.
Anyways,
let's can't even follow his own damn rules.
Yeah, no.
I think I might have another one.
Go ahead. I'm not picky.
All right. So you're on Two Brothers,
mm-hmm.
and you are sailing in a New York.
Okay.
The entire team goes through the middle. What do you do?
I go with the team because I know the New York is one of the slowest battleships in the game, and you know I can't afford to go around the edges, and you know by the time I go around, you know, the south edge or the north edge, the game's already over.
But yeah, pretty much. Also, just so you're aware, Helicopter De Ruyter has 7 150 millimeter guns and a belt armor of 50 millimeters. At 32
what size are those guns in inches?
Inches 5.9. they're Nuremberg guns. 3 dual and 1 single. This thing struggles to be a tier 6.
I know.
That sounds like a tier 4 or 5.
No, yes. Ideally, I would love it to be in a tier 6 or tier 7, but yeah.
Ideally. It would depend on its armor.
It doesn't have any.
They can give it some sort of gimmick, you know. I don't know.
Gimmick is it's Dutch. Also, the picture in
the picture that we can there. See and no one else can.
Yeah, the picture which, that we can see and nobody
which
else can.
Which will be linked in the show notes.
Yeah, I can de-router for those who want to know what it looks like, or you know, the standard old Google search.
That concludes our first episode.
Don't panic; it will improve.
Hopefully, yes, it will definitely improve.
This is just the pilot episode.
Yeah,
hopefully. Yeah, we're gonna fire a copter and then we'll be.
three out of the three people here have never done a podcast before.
No, yeah. Actually, two out of the three people have never done a podcast before.
You try hard.
I think we've established with my random gameplay that I do not try hard. Ever.
Oh, God. Anyways, yes, we will definitely be coming out with more episodes soon. We're hoping for 7 episodes for the first season. And, you know, we'll keep in touch, you know, forums, Reddit, everything. So you can try to find us pretty much everywhere.
I'm on the forums a lot. You can find me under the profile Doomlock.
You can find Thunder streaming pretty much every day.
I don't stream every day. Shut up. I stream whenever I damn well feel like it. So yeah, you won't find me on the forums. You'll never find me on Reddit. Actually, I don't know where you could find me.
On Twitch?
He's an enigma.
Well, there's Twitch. I'm on a few Discord servers.
Anyways, yes, I'll list all the contacts in the show notes. We'd love for you to return and come back and listen for more. And that concludes our first episode. Thank you for listening, guys.
I think the biggest thing is if you have any ideas on how to improve, then let us know.
Indeed.
Please, wherever you can reach us, just let us know.
We're a hodgepodge of three people thrown together and trying to make a podcast, and this is our first attempt. Why it's called the pilot episode, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Everyone knows a pilot episode sucks.
Why do you think most pilot episodes are hard to find from, like, TV shows and stuff?
That is true.
And that concludes. Thanks for hanging out with us, everybody, and we'll catch you later.
All right. See ya.
Bye-bye.